Hey guys, welcome back to the Dev Dump, perhaps the number two podcast for indie game dev. Unfortunately, guys, the number one spot was taken from us by Where's My Semicolon.
So sad.
But whether you're new to game dev or just love gaming, you're in the right place. I'm Polymars, and I'm joined by my boys, Bargy, Reese Geodude, and Goodgis.
Yo, yo, yo.
What's up, friends?
How are we doing, guys? How are we doing?
Back again.
So this episode is... This episode is dedicated to a question from Daz T. What is your favorite game engine and why?
Okay, so I actually really like this question, and I'm sure you guys are going to be very annoyed with me by the end because I have a lot to say, but I think, I don't know, I feel like Reese should go first.
Me? Why me?
I don't know. I'm thinking like me today.
Boys, this could be the last episode. Honestly, this is going to be an intense debate.
Yeah, probably. The next episode will be the breakup episode.
Yeah.
Yeah, so my favorite game engine is Game Maker.
Boo!
Just because it's a nice engine. And it's the first thing I used. And I've been using it for a long time. Mm-hmm. So, yeah.
Did you start in Game Maker Studios?
Yeah, no, I started in game, whatever it's called, Game Maker 8 or whatever. I started that like, I don't even know, like 10 years ago or something, like as a drag and drop. And then, you know, Game Maker Studios came along like way after. And then I moved on to coding in it and just kind of stuck with that. So.
Yeah, used Game Maker 8.1 a long time ago. And then I was stuck for a while before I eventually like switched to Unity, I guess.
Yeah, that was the one that I'd always like when I was like 12, I would always like try and make games, but I'd be really bad and I'd copy loads of people's code. It was always in Game Maker.
Yeah, that was great. Basically me. And then I moved on to stealing code in Unity.
Yeah.
It's funny, when I started using Game Maker, it was Game Maker 7, so it was even older, and there was like no community. Like, it was terrible. Like, the engine was actually pretty garbage. I didn't realize it then. But so, Reese, I'm curious, what do you like about Game Maker that you're still using it? Is it just like, is it familiar? Is it comfortable?
Yeah.
Do you
how
it works?
I get this question a lot. I know a lot of people have, like, you know, a lot of issues with Game Maker. And by no means do I think that it's a perfect engine. For the people listening in, you know, every engine's going to have their downfalls. And I think that Game Maker might have a lot, but really it just comes down to, is it able to do what I want it to do? So I make a lot of, you know, 2D pixel art games, top down or platformer, and you know, I port them to Steam, and that's pretty much it. So for what I do personally, it serves me exactly what it needs to do. I don't do a lot of networking, I don't do a lot of, you know, porting and stuff like that. So for, you know, all of my concerns, it does what it needs to do. And I know the engine well enough that I can actually, you know, make something good, like using that tool. So I think honestly, that's like as far as it goes really is like, by no means is it the best engine, but it's a really easy engine to pick up and you can prototype things fairly quickly. So.
Yeah, I feel like.
Go ahead.
I feel like a big thing is just like comfort, like being able to use an engine that you can do things in. It doesn't matter if it's like the best or whatever.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure.
I will say I have like a good story and a bad story about Game Maker. The first one is actually one of the moderators for our Fear Earth Discord. He's actually working on like a fan online game for one of my games I made in the past. And he's using Game Maker Studio, and the networking actually seems to work pretty well. I'll say, like, back in the day, the networking was horrible. It was so bad. It was garbage. So that's
for sure,
one good news. Like, I feel like the engine's improved quite a bit. Another thing is my brother, when he made Rocket Pods, he had so many issues where, like, Game Maker was literally trying to delete itself. It was, like, trying to delete the file. And he had to literally stop the game. He had to, like, remake part of the part of the game. Because it was deleting itself, and he had to like go in and delete some like DLL files or something. It was really weird.
That sounds weird.
And wait, was that Game Maker Studio or like Game Maker?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
It was Game Maker Studio 2 because
Yeah, I've experienced the same thing. I've experienced a corruption file too, actually.
Yeah, so that's one thing.
I mean, I've been using it for like 5 years, and it's only happened once. So I wouldn't say that, you know, it's a huge deal breaker, but it definitely, that happened to me as well with the corruption issue. So
that happens literally every game engine. I mean, it practically every time you open up Unity, it happens. So just kidding.
Right. Yeah, that's true. Enough. No, I remember when I was like 10. When I was 10, I made this Minecraft game in Game Maker 8. It was like top-down 2D Minecraft. I was so proud of it. And one day I went to open it because I was trying to add like a mob or something. I thought it was so cool. And it just said like, this file is not a Game Maker like 8 file. I'm like, I was like crying for like a week. I'm like, my Minecraft game. And that's when I basically stopped using Game Maker. I stopped making games for like a long time after that.
It's where the vendetta started.
Yeah, I hate Game Maker.
Okay, so speaking of glitches, Jack, I'm curious to see your thoughts on your favorite game engines.
Speaking of glitches,
you're just a bug.
Yeah, I mean,
actually, before you
go on, sorry.
Yeah, go on.
No. You second.
Oh no, I was just gonna say you could briefly explain that story, because I feel like nobody really knows that except for us.
Wait.
This glitch.
The glitch?
How you overrated your entire computer.
Well, that wasn't a Unity thing, but I'll explain it real quick.
Nah, it was because of Unity. Unity sucks.
I wasn't even referencing that.
Yeah.
I wasn't thinking about that either. I think that was the only reason.
So nuanced.
I mean, I guess I have to say something now, though. Well, people are going to be a little...
Sure.
So, Goodgiz was telling me about how good Linux was. So I thought I'd move over. I thought I'd have a go. And I may or may not have overwritten the drive that had my source code on for my latest game. But we're all good. I backed it up beforehand. I backed it up like a week before I released it. So there's only like a level gone. But yeah, not really a Unity bug. But yeah, Unity.
Power of Linux.
Yeah, the power of Linux. Never use it. Vendetta, nah. I'm kidding. It's cool.
Fair enough.
Yeah, I'm kind of vanilla with Unity, but I feel like the issue with Unity is that it's so accessible that there's so many bad games in it that people just have sort of a vendetta against Unity, right? Because anyone can pick it up. Anyone can follow the Brackeys tutorial on making that dodging game and release like a small game, right? So it... The internet is just populated with really bad Unity games that people have made as their first game. So at least for a gamer, someone who's not a game developer, Unity is seen pretty badly. But on the flip side of that, if you look at games made by like Landfall, so like Cluster Truck, Totally Accurate Battle Simulator, it just shows that Unity really has all of the tools that it needs to make a good game. It's just how you utilize those tools, right? And it's like, people make the comparison between Unity and Unreal all the time. And it's like, Unreal out of the box looks amazing. Unity doesn't, right? But you can make it look just as good. And I feel strongly that Unity as an engine,
for sure,
is one of the best all-rounders, right? Because you can do pretty much anything with it if you know what you're doing. But then again, if you pick it up as a beginner, then you're not going to make something great. And because so many people have done that, it's built up a bad reputation. I am curious go on, sorry, Reese.
I think it's interesting because I think that you're obviously not like, you know, to like downplay your point, but I think that kind of view is a lot more like old Unity, mm-hmm. where that was kind of like one of the big things that everybody knows, but you know, you can't make good games with it. Whereas now, you know, Unity definitely has like, they've upgraded so much over the years that they are kind of like a rival with Unreal 100%. Mm-hmm. In most ways, right? Like, and so I think that people now might not even understand what you're saying, because I think that a lot of people now honestly see Unity as a very reliable game engine.
I would agree with that in the game dev space. But at least for people just play games, that reputation's never really gone. Like, I know whenever I get asked what engine I use by someone who doesn't make games and I say Unity, it's like, oh, of course you do. You know, like, That's obviously the go-to for like beginners, and so many bad games have been made with it. You see that Made in Unity trademark thing, and you already know you're in for a ride.
Yeah. I know all of my gamer friends, when they open up an app on their phone and they see Made in Unity, they're always like, oh, okay, this game's going to be bad.
Yeah, it's definitely built up a bad reputation, but it's not a bad engine, in my opinion.
So yeah, for sure.
I actually have an opinion that is going to kind of shock you guys. You're gonna think that something's wrong with me, but I actually think that I think that Uni is actually, as of right now, it's probably one of the best engines you can use. Like, think about games like Risk of Rain 2, like that's made in Unity.
It has
the physics built in, all of this stuff. Like, think about it, it's like, I don't know how big the business is, it's like $1 billion or, you know, a couple million dollar business. They have so much money that they sink into. There's tons of learning material, and I think that the engine has, like, there's so much to it, but that's also where, like, my problems with it come into play. Like, I feel like my biggest issue is that things break all the time because there's so many dependencies, there's so many things, and if you're me and you're good at, you know, breaking things and, like, just you're trying to figure out how to make a game, like, I don't know, every time I used it, I always had issues and things never made sense, and they change it so often. Like, I would be using materials, I'm like, why does this look terrible? And then I'm like, oh, I got to use new render pipeline materials or whatever. And then I had to redo stuff and post processing. It's like, oh, that's a legacy version. But I think if you can navigate that, it still probably is a better tool, like, compared to something like, I don't know, like Godot. Godot is, you know, it's so small compared to Unity, and it's not quite, you know, like, developed enough to really compete on, and that's like long term. Like, if you're just trying to make a basic game, you can or like, even if you're not trying to make like World of Warcraft, you could, you know, actually maybe you could make it in Godot. I'm having like really bad comparisons, but I think if you're not trying to do anything super crazy graphic intensive, it's weird, it's like old Unity is like what Godot is, and like now, like, that perception when people look at Godot, like, oh, it looks so bad. You know, and like, and Unity is unreal.
Yeah, it definitely unreal has today. Like an issue of bloat with Unity. Like, I feel like if I'm making something very small, I shouldn't be using Unity for it because it just feels way too overkill.
It's gotten to the point for me when using Unity is just more of like an inconvenience than it's like worth for the kind of stuff I make, I guess.
It's like it really does depend game on the unreal.
Game. Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
People do it all the time, like, what are you doing? It's like, I don't know. It's extreme, man.
Yeah, it makes no sense. Like, what? I don't get why you'd build upon that engine, you know? Like, there's things like Godot, which are much more lightweight, that you could build upon. And I just feel like if you're making a really small game, then Unity might be a little overkill. But saying that, it is quite good for beginners, regardless.
Yeah. At the same time, like, people often, like, let that kind of stuff get in the way from using it, but, like, if your end goal is to make a game, Unity, you can make whatever, I guess.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I think that, I mean, I think that any engine will have its strengths, but also most engines, you can basically do any kind of like starting game, like not technically doing like a 3D or 2D, because some engines are strictly 2D and some engines are strictly 3D. But, you know, with the skill set of whatever the engine has, like most engines are going to be able to, you know, at least do something like whatever, like starting a game or something. Like, you could build the game in whatever engine or programming language, and that would still be fine. But
I mean, getting everything's started, gonna have when like getting started, it doesn't really matter. Like, obviously all of these things we're discussing about the engines are like, you know, if you're going to make a commercial game, then you're going to want to look into these things and what engine is best for you. If you're starting out and you want to make like a, I don't know, a little platformer game.
Yeah,
it really,
you can use
matter.
Whatever you want.
Exactly.
You can make an Empire game.
Exactly. Well, I was saying this beforehand. Pie game, if I was to go back and say, like, recommend anything for someone to begin with, it would be Pie game. Because Python's so easy to learn. You don't really have to worry about syntax a lot of the time because it's very basic.
And you don't have to worry about importing 12,000 packages from the Unity package manager.
Plus, it would teach things quicker than Unity teaches, because Unity does so much for you that I felt like for the first year of using Unity, I didn't know much. I felt like I was being carried by the engine a lot, Whereas with Pygame, I feel if you start with that, it's not so insane that you couldn't do it, but it's going to teach you a lot about like the behind the scenes stuff.
That's actually
so. What about you guys? Like, what would you guys recommend if you were to restart your journeys? Like, what would you guys have used?
I would say Godot, and it's because it's a GD script is based off of Python. It's basically Python, so it's easy to start coding. The 3D in Godot is stupid simple. Like, I struggled so much to create anything basic in Unity. Just because C sharp is like, and I know C++, but C sharp is just like, it's a tough language, especially if you're starting out. So if you have like no knowledge whatsoever, and you have to pick between, I just feel like Godot is like so super straightforward. There's some things I just made a video about this recently. And so many people told me that they couldn't figure out like game. They tried to make games before, it made no sense. They tried Game Maker, they tried Unreal, they tried Unity, and it wasn't until they used Godot that they're like, "Oh, okay, this makes sense." I don't think that's the case for everyone, you know.
I agree with you. Sure. As someone who started with Unity, I would not recommend it.
I agree.
Have to be very committed because it is difficult, right? And when I'm sure everyone can relate to this, when starting out making games, it's so hard to get into a position where you're like, okay, I can actually make a game now, right? For the first few like months, even you don't know what's going on, you know.
You're just following tutorials,
googling everything, trying to figure it out.
Yeah,
and you just don't know what's going on. And with Unity, that's so difficult to get out of. It's so easy to fall into the trap of searching up absolutely everything for every feature of your game and
building
it on that. But Unity is a bad starting place for that because it does so much of the heavy lifting for you, and it's not easy either, you know. That it's just a bad medium. It's a lot of work for a little payoff compared to something like Pygame or I've not used Godot, but I imagine Godot.
That is the good thing about Unity though, is that you don't need to know to code if you just Google everything and copy it into your project.
I think there's a lot of resources.
Everyone's issues are online and you can just look up like how to make it like a really niche thing and it's like, okay, this is mine now.
Unity's gotta be one of the most documented pieces of software. Like honestly, you can search anything, the most niche thing, and someone will have had that issue before. It's insane.
That literally happened. I was making a survival game like a year ago, and down to like the nitty-gritty details, like how do I make this axe chopping effect in a survival game, and like everything, every little detail I had a question about, there's a video on. And it's funny because
it's insane. It's so like weird.
It's a year and a half later and I'm trying to like recreate that in Godot, and it's like you read the manual, and even the manual sometimes like, good luck. It's like, oh man, like you kind of have to look at examples and stuff. Definitely like a different type of learning, but I think you're actually learning more because you actually have to know what you're doing instead of just like copying and pasting someone's code.
Yeah, for sure.
Right.
But I think that goes back
I actually
to
have
the...
like sorry I have a yeah I was just gonna say I have like an interesting question, but well, first of all, like, was everybody kind of like in that stage, like, you know, just looking up tutorials online and like, you know, piecing together how to make a game?
Yeah, just piecing things together, I guess. For me, it was mainly like other like people's projects. I'd look at their code and I'd be like, okay, like I tried to add stuff to it and just like piecing bits together.
So my question is like, how did you get out of that? Because I feel like a lot of people...
That's a good question.
You kind of get stuck in that tutorial hell, basically, where all you can do is basically just look up a tutorial and figure out, you know, from that video, copy. So how did you guys break out of that, I guess, is my question, to develop whatever you want?
I guess. Oh, wait, go ahead.
Because I just started picking up, like I said, Godot. I think it hasn't even been a year that I've used Godot. And so when I first started, Godot had like, I actually tried it a year or two before and I hated it because I didn't understand it and my brain was too small to understand. So getting familiar with the engine, I literally watched like 3 or 4 tutorials a day on just the editor part and what things did. And then I started to make a game. I'm like, I'm going to make a really basic game where you do this thing. I think it was within a week or two, and like if you're just learning programming for the first time, it's going to take longer. But I was doing that, and then I was doing Python tutorials, even though I already knew Python. I was just doing a refresher. And I think it was about like 2 weeks that it took for me to finally be like, oh, this thing does this. And then I don't even need to like, I don't need to look up how to make a material or how to pick up an item and stuff like that. And then I think eventually you get to a place where if you forget how to do it, you always have a game where you did it before. And then you can look back like, oh, how did I do that again? And you're like, oh, I did it like that. I don't know. I reference older projects after I get out of that tutorial stage. But I don't know, Jacob, you're going to say something.
Oh yeah, I agree with oh, I guess for me, like how I started to answer the question is sorry, my like brain just like spaced out. Anyway, but basically like I was saying, I kind of already answered Reese when I said like I was just piecing things together and
yeah,
that was all actually.
So one real quick question I have for you, Jacob, because I don't think we touched on it. Like, you don't really have like a set game engine that you use all the time. Is there like, do you have any preferences on engines you like better than others? Because you're kind of like a nomad when it comes to that.
Yeah, I guess. So I started like Jack with Unity before I knew any coding. And I guess back then I kind of like agreed with what Jack was saying. Like what I was learning was kind of useless outside of Unity. Like I was learning how to use games, which I guess is fine if your end goal is to make games. Like if you want to release a commercial game, become a game developer, then use a game engine, I guess. So the decision of whether or not like to use a game engine really depends on what you're trying to do. And I said this in the first episode, but I guess game dev is just a way for me to get better at coding. And with making games without an engine, I feel like I've learned so much that's like seriously so cool and also like translatable to anything, where I feel like it doesn't matter what I use. Like I guess that's also because my games are simple enough where I'm not relying on anything that's specific to any game engine. It's just a matter of learning like the basics of how to use something, and I think it's allowed me to do a lot of cool projects that I would have never considered if I was still using Unity, like making Twitter bots, stuff like that.
Yeah, I definitely agree with that.
For sure.
Because with Unity, I definitely feel that a lot of the stuff in Unity you're learning and it can't be used anywhere else. Like what you were saying. Like you feel like these things are just Unity specific and you have to teach yourself so much about the engine. But then if you want to go outside of Unity and just code in like raw C#, it's difficult because you've built this dependence on like the Unity libraries and all the features of the engine.
Going from Unity to like not using Unity was the hardest thing for me. I made like a Flappy Bird clone. It took me so long. It took me a week. Yeah. I was like so lost. But once I did that, like the skills I learned outside of using Unity, because I'll still go back to Unity for like making 3D games. If I want to do VR stuff, I'll go back to Unity. And I noticed that everything I've learned outside of Unity transfers perfectly to Unity. Mm-hmm. And I'm able to make things that if I would have stuck with Unity, I probably would have never learned how to do those things because I was comfortable fine with what I was doing in Unity. It didn't really force me to learn how to do like other types of like programming practices and things. So going outside of Unity has made me better at using it too. And just being able to translate my skills to like anything. And I feel like that's also been beneficial from like a YouTube perspective, because I also mentioned this in an earlier episode, but I guess ultimately for me, I mainly use game dev as like a tool to create YouTube content. I never really thought about being like a commercial, like indie game developer. And I guess the skills I've picked up from making games without a game engine have helped me make like more unique projects that I guess has helped me stand out a bit.
Yeah.
Well,
for sure.
One interesting point too, like
that's interesting
what you're saying about the languages. I think like, if you're using Unity and you're using C# and stuff like that, it's hard. Yeah. Like you're saying, like you shouldn't learn code that's just specific to an engine. I think like just learn C# in general. Like if you're listening out there and you use Godot or Unity, whatever, like if you're using Godot, learn Python. I think, you know, and even if you are using Godot, learn C++, use it, learn a different language and see how it works. I actually, because I grew up using GameMaker, I used GML, which is like, it's kind of based off of C. But then when I, you know, was actually working on other programs outside of that, like GML doesn't really apply to a whole lot of things. It's a lot easier of a C language. So then I, you know, I took the time, I learned C++. I obviously I don't know all of it, but as I was learning C++, I realized, I'm like, there's all these things that I'm missing. And then Godot got way easier because I don't know why. I didn't know how to, like, classes or functions worked, because you never, like, that doesn't really happen in GML. I'm sure it's possible, but you just didn't really do that, or people didn't do it very often. So learning how even a function works, all this other stuff, then when you try a different language or you go into a new game engine, it's just so much easier. So I definitely recommend, like, no matter what engine you use, that you try to, you know, learn a language. And if you hate programming, there's some people that do. Like, use something like Scratch or Construct or GDevelop or something, you know?
Yeah.
These people, like, you know, are Vimlark out there. He's got a perfectly, you know, good channel where he's making stuff in Construct. And I've made MMOs with Construct. So it's all based on preference and what you want to get out of it in the future.
Yeah. I guess to answer how I got out of that tutorial hell, as you called it, Reese, and going on from Gugus's point, I definitely felt for, like, the first year of making games that all of my programming knowledge was, like, very specific to Unity. Like, if I went outside of it, I tried to make something else, I felt like I didn't know much about how actual C# worked. Yep. I felt like I was basically writing in this language that was Unity specific. And when I first tried to make a game outside of Unity, which was my first big project, it was just so overwhelming because there was all these new things that I hadn't used before. Like, Unity obviously taught me the basics up to, like, classes or whatever, but beyond that, it's just I didn't know a lot at all. So going out of, like, the engine definitely taught me a ton of stuff. But yeah, getting out of the tutorial sort of thing, like, starting off with Unity, I definitely just recommend making as many games as you can and as many different games as you can. And obviously, starting out, if you don't know how to program, then you're not going to be able to make an amazing game off the bat. So the best thing to do at the beginning is to just break the problem down and search everything step by step, right? And if you do that for 3 or 4 games, eventually you're going to be like, oh, wait, I need to do the same thing again. So, oh, wait, I remember how to do that from the last time. And it's really just about that. It's about reiterating over things and trying to challenge yourself. You know, if you give in every single time and try not to solve the problem, then you're not going to get anywhere. You kind of have to, like, even if it's really bad code, try and solve the problem before, like, searching up an answer, right? Because you can always replace the code. But if you fix, like, a problem in really bad code, at least you fixed it, right? And you did that. And then the next time you'll know, okay, so there's this other way of doing it, and it's cleaner. And definitely for me, I just felt like limiting myself and challenging myself as much as you can is definitely the best way you can learn all those things and get out of just searching everything up. So yeah.
Yeah, sure. That's a good point. Like, I could not answer that earlier, but now that you're saying it, that makes sense. I think for me, it was like, it was like weird because I never really like learned how to like code in Unity or anything. Kind of like forced to get out of that when I wanted to like do things, like add smaller things to like bigger like systems. Like, say I watch a tutorial on how to make a platformer, which I did. I made, like, one of my first games was a speedrunning game. I'm never going to show it off on my channel because it's pretty bad, but it was, like, a speedrunning game, and I used a tutorial to make the, like, platformer movement and stuff. And I'm like, okay. But then I wanted to add, like, a timer to it. I'm like, what? So I had to watch another tutorial on how to add a timer. I'm like, oh, that makes sense. And, like, that tutorial, like, broke down, like, different things. I'm like, okay. So if you can make a timer stop when you hit an object, then you can probably do other stuff. And I'm like, wait, I can just make a game then.
Yeah.
Yeah.
If that makes sense at all.
It's all about breaking it down into as many little problems, like decomposing it as much as you can. That helps so much more than you'd think. Because obviously when first approach a game, it's like, oh, all these different things that I've got to do. You know, how am I going to get to the end, right? But if you break it down and you say, okay, I need to do this thing and then I can do this thing, right? So step one, get the movement working. Okay, you've got that. Now add a jump. Now add a timer. Now add some score, you know? If you just break it down into every little piece, like, that is definitely the best way of learning. Even if you are searching
for sure.
Those things.
Yeah, I definitely agree with Jack. For me, like, it was 99% just, like, making, you know, prototype after prototype after prototype. I feel like I was in that tutorial, you know, just searching for a really long time where I couldn't do anything without it. I didn't understand programming. I think when I started programming, I think I was in like grade 10 or something. So it was like 14 or 15. I don't know if that's like early or late, but
that was the same for me too.
I had no experience. Yeah. Like I had zero experience. Never had taken a tech class or anything like that. So for me, it was, you know, just looking up tutorials, how to make a platformer, and then how do I make a camera move? And then, you know, after a few prototypes, I kind of just decided like, I'm not going to learn anything from, you know, like being able to do this. I'm not going to be able to make games on my own. Because I've always, I think at least, been like a creative person. And so I've always wanted to do things a little bit outside of the box that maybe I couldn't find a tutorial on. So like, I guess it's maybe not great advice, but I just kind of told myself, like, I just made a pact with myself and just said, you know what, I'm going to make a full game and I'm going to look up zero references. And that's where my YouTube channel started with the game Shield Shock. I never looked up a reference. That was the first game I'd ever done without using a tutorial. And then I made a YouTube series about it and, you know, just kind of like the step-by-step process of how that worked. And then from there, you know, the game wasn't good, but the entire challenge yeah. was to do everything on my own. So even with like the sound effects and music and stuff, or creating the cover art for the game and publishing it on Steam, everything was done by me. Only me, 100%, whatever. So it was just like a challenge for myself, basically, that I said, I'm going to take 6 months, 8 months, 10 months, you know, figure this out on my own with the little bit of knowledge that I've learned from following tutorials and copying people's code. And, you know, even if just figuring out how to make my character jump, if that takes me a week, then that takes me a week.
Yeah.
But if I can figure it out in my own way and
yeah.
you know, do it on my own time, then, you know, eventually I got to figure things out. So, yeah I mean, programming, literally all it is just problem solving. Everything is broken down into a problem and a question that you have to answer. So, you know, when you go that step above to thinking about game logic, you know, I want to make a platformer. Those are also just problems that you have to break down into. How do I move left to right? How do I jump? How do I attack? So, yeah, I mean, I don't know.
Yeah.
I think it's a good skill to learn.
And I
it's
guess
just like problem solving.
To like reiterate my point from earlier, like if you can try to solve any problem in any way, then do it. Rather than like searching up a thing, if you have any inclination on how to do it, then try. Even if it's terrible code, because then you can always replace
even if it's
it.
Inefficient.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, 100%.
And if you can't figure it out, just private message Reese. He'll give you all the answers.
Yeah, my DMs are open, guys.
Oh boy,
you're gonna love that
24/7 hotline. You know.
Yeah. Okay, so I have a question that's a little off topic. It's it's actually when someone submitted it. And that is, are you ready for this? Can I get a drum roll? No, we can't. We don't have the budget for it.
No. We're not. Where's my
sound? The question is, what is your favorite OST official soundtrack? Could be from a game,
official.
Could be from a movie.
Ooh,
it has
official.
To be official though.
I've got an amazing yeah. answer for this one.
Official.
Go for it.
Okay.
Club Penguin.
for sure.
It's not exactly official. It was kind of pieced together from the internet, but Club Penguin's soundtrack is amazing, and I will fight anybody who disagrees with me on that.
Personally, I think the better soundtrack is the DS game Club Penguin Elite Penguin Force.
Yes,
it, like, basically remixed.
Oh man,
there are so many great remixes. It was like I was actually listening to it today. I was working on my video. It literally had the Club Penguin DS soundtrack in the background. I'm like dead serious.
That's something. Like, I listen to, you know, old school RuneScape music all the time, or like those old, like,
too.
Old
job,
World of Warcraft and stuff like that. But that's Club Penguin is one of those things I totally forgot about. I'll have to listen to
it. Yeah, I haven't heard that soundtrack in probably like 10 years.
Man, it's so good. The like, ice fishing theme. Gotta love it.
Okay, so mine is, I kind of have two. I mean, it's not my favorite, but it's one of my favorites. First off, Chrono Trigger OST is like fantastic. I've listened to it so many times that when I actually saw it in the game, it was weird. I was like, oh, it's from this game. Like, I forgot what game it was from just because I listened to it without playing the game so much. Never. And then the other soundtrack, which I was just jamming out to today, was Age of Empires 2. It's fantastic, like, weird, like, early 2000s instrumentation. And I don't know. It's beautiful.
Yeah. I've never heard either of them.
Yeah, not as good as Club Penguin, unfortunately.
Yeah, unfortunately. I mean,
I'm with you.
I feel
on
like we should
too.
Play a snippet of the Club Penguin ice fishing thing. It's copyright free, but I feel like Gugis, you gotta listen to this. You gotta reminisce.
I think that for me, I also have two. So I think that, like, based off of nostalgia only, like, I would say, basically any Zelda track, but specifically like. Ocarina of Time and Majora's Mask.
I'm not old enough.
Like, really, really classic and just iconic, I guess. It just, like, you know, brings me back to my childhood. We played a lot of Zelda, so any kind of Zelda music, just, like, I just really enjoy.
Yeah.
But personally, like, my favorite, like, actual original soundtrack, at least game-wise, is Hyper Light Drifter. I don't know what it is. Well, I do know what it is because I've listened to it over and over and over. But, like, you know, the weird, like, cyber sounds that they have in there, it just, like, for some reason, it feels so, like, otherworldly. And just the entire soundtrack, just, like, I don't know. It just, it's just so calming. Anyway, so actually I use that as reference with my composer for Monster Tribe. You know, we have that as one of our kind of, like, influences in the sound design is Hyper Light Drifter, because we also kind of have, like, those, like, ancient like sci-fi elements in our game. So
I think it's so fascinating how we, like, we look back at our childhood, and that's, like, the most nostalgic things are, like, our favorite OSTs. Like, I can't believe you guys haven't, like, listened to Chrono Trigger, but, like, the stuff I grew up with was, like, you know, early 2000s, late 90s. So you had, like, drum and bass is really popular in the UK at the time, so you hear those, like, tracks in a bunch of PlayStation 1 games and Nintendo 64 games. That's, like, it's but it's crazy because, you know, you guys are zoomers and you don't even know. Yeah.
Hey,
you're
bro,
listening
listen
to the Minecraft
to...
OST or something.
Bro, yeah. Open up the eyes.
I didn't grow up
with
N64.
I'm telling you gotta listen to it. Good guess.
Okay. Live reaction right
I'll
now.
I'll give a quick play on the stream while you're listening as well. It's non-copyright.
Yeah, because we're going to get demonetized.
Yep.
On our
yes, this video is
everyone give it a listen.
All of our
chat.
Big revenue is going to go away.
That's like, that's almost like Bossa Nova. That's pretty chill.
It's chill, isn't it? it's such a good song, man.
Nice. Anyway, getting back to game engines.
Oh god. There's me bopping out to the ice fishing theme. Oh god.
Getting back to game engines, I don't think that anybody other than me answered this question. So what are your favorite engines, guys? We'll start with Jacob, because I think he's the weirdest.
I think everyone answered. If it's not obvious.
Well, you I think you said Godot, right?
No, I did. I was the only one that didn't say. But it's simple. Godot for me. Uni for
what a surprise.
Jack.
Yeah, I feel like Jacob I kind of explained my story.
Yeah, Jacob's a rogue, and you're sticking to your guns with.
So you don't have one then, I guess. You don't have one. Pico 8 didn't take you over after that.
Yeah, sorry. I actually learned a lot from working in Pico 8, like stuff that I'm excited to make games with. It's weird.
You learn, like, how not
entities.
To make it. No kidding.
Level loading.
It's a fun,
like,
restriction for sure. Fun restriction.
Yeah.
Which I think is another
better than
kind
Unity,
of,
unfortunately.
Like, a cool way to learn. Yeah, that's another cool way to learn is, like, you know, setting specific restrictions on yourself too. Just to, like, maybe create more, like, of a fun challenge for yourself. But I personally haven't done it too much, but, like, I don't know, you know, like, maybe, like, trying to, like, make a game where you can't use if statements, like, you can only use for loops, and, you know, like, just doing things outside of the box to kind of, like, challenge yourself, I guess, could be interesting. I don't know.
Yeah,
definitely.
I usually do restrictions in terms of like game engines or, you know, coding languages, but I'm just saying there's ideas out there.
Yeah,
maybe we haven't explored yet.
If it wasn't for me wanting to make a DS game, I'd probably still be using Unity right now. That's the only thing that I basically was forced to branch out because I really wanted to make a DS game.
And
fair enough.
I think to like wrap this up in a nice little bow tie, I think like, you know, find a game engine that you like and that you're comfortable with, but also make sure that you branch out and try new things. Try different languages. Don't fall in love and only try one thing. Because yeah. I mean, you're not going to know whether you like it or not. And it could come down to like, you can like Reese, he loves Game Maker Studio. That's fantastic. And it does exactly what he needs. He doesn't need to be using Unreal, you know, Unreal's 2D. Like that's just crazy. You know? So find what's comfortable for you. It doesn't always have to be the best, the most optimized. And you know, just, you know, if you like Scratch, well, I mean, I don't think you'll be able to sell your game, but you can still make games. Like, and definitely, like, Reese, I think that's a great idea of, like, pushing yourself, putting restrictions. Like, make a game that's under a certain file size. Like, I know that's impossible if you're using anything other than, like, C++. but, yeah, put it like, hey, can you make a game in, you know, 10 kilobytes? You know, what can you come up with? But I think ultimately you'll grow and you'll learn. You'll learn so much more than just being like safe in your, you know, little place over here, just learning
everything at your disposal. I would say at least, like, you know, learn like three engines or coding languages, because like, again, it's what I started with and it's what I use now, but I have branched out, tried other engines. It's just for me personally, just, you know, it works for me. But for people watching, I would recommend try out different engines, because you never know what's going to click. And that's for anything too, you know, software as well. Like, I've tried different pixel art software and I found what I like and that's what I like. So, with whatever you're using, try different resources, because you don't know what's going to click, until you've, you know, experienced other things. So don't get too comfortable.
Use Unreal Engine 1. It's way harder and it takes way more time.
I doubt that man's watching this, I'll be honest.
I'm referring to a comment that was left on one of Jack's videos. Yeah.
I only make games in Unreal Tournament, and if you don't, then you're really bad.
Yeah. If you guys didn't already know, Unreal Engine 1 is the only true game engine. If you don't use that, then you're bad. Sorry.
Yeah. That's our final conclusion.
Yeah. That's it.
If you have any
conclusion, guys.
If you have any questions for the next podcast, make sure to leave them, and please ask questions. We will answer them at some point.
We need questions, guys.
Tell us in the comments below what your favorite game engine is, and if you're mad that we insulted Unity, then make sure to let us know that as well.
Yeah.
Yeah. If you think Unity is good, then like the video, and then if you think it's bad, also like the video.
Yeah, that would be cool. Fair enough. And I guess the final thing, just to address the art promise that we made last episode, we are going to get around to it. We're not doing it just yet, but hopefully we'll have a dedicated video for that challenge, because we think it's cool. So we're going to spend a little bit longer on it.
So if you guys want to see us try new art styles that we've never tried before, then subscribe, because that'll be a separate video coming out soon. So
do it.
Epic. Do it now. All right, guys. See you soon.
Thanks for tuning in to Brackies.
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 Oh, God. Oh, God, bro. That messed up the overlay real bad. All right, guys. See you soon.
I thought that was the end.